Everybody on Facebook saw you do that. Anyway, good evening. Welcome to the 12 Man Podcast, live, uninterrupted. And yeah, here we go. An hour of, Tartan Borough. It's no other way that we stoke it up, really, so that's literally it. You got me, Steve Jackson, I'm in the main chair, as usual. We're a bit depleted tonight, isn't it, really, isn't it? Got Mr. John Cutler, my sidekick, alongside me. How are we doing?
I'm all right, you?
Yeah, cracking, mate.
Good man.
And we've got Mr. Steve Dixon with us. Evening, Dicko.
Evening, everybody. You okay?
Yeah, we're good. You're going to have to forgive me now. You're my third favourite, Georgie. I'm so sorry. Wow. Wow. Carrick's going nowhere. Anyway. We'll talk. We're going to talk Ipswich. We're going to talk. Dicko's got a question for us as well. Come from one of our listeners. He'll keep that to himself for a little bit, but it's one that's going to cause a bit of questioning, because I know what he's going to ask, and I can see where he's coming from, because I thought the same. And then we'll preview the two games we've got coming this week: Hull and Swansea. Doesn't get much easier, does it?
Every game in the Championship stuff.
Is it?
It is.
I wouldn't mind playing Chef Webb right now. I know they just beat Stoke. I'm not being funny. But, you know what I mean? It's tough. It really is tough at the moment. Squad's not getting any, any thicker, but I don't want to offend them. But you know what I mean? It's
because we're having a bit of a sticky patch. I think if we had been winning games, you'd look at the fixtures coming up, and I think you'd relish them. I think you'd look at them and you wouldn't fear them. The fixtures coming up, is it Hull on Wednesday, obviously?
Yeah.
Swansea away, West Brom at home, Rotherham away, Huddersfield away, and Coventry at home. I think if we were in a run of good form, I think we would be looking forward to those fixtures. It's just because we're not firing at the moment. Every game looks like a tough one.
That's the thing, isn't it? You rightly said there. It's because of... I mean, the form's not brilliant, but it's not bad. I mean, we're not in a massive rut, let's face it. You know, when you put it all together, I know recent games haven't been great, but it's the squad. The squad's worrying me now, because obviously we've got a couple coming back, but
have we though?
Well, yeah, we've got two suspensions coming back for Wednesday.
Yeah, Jones and
Dykesfield. So there's two. Although, I mean, I'll pause the question about that a bit later, because I thought a certain someone in the back line was very good on Saturday.
Team news today was that nobody's back other than the suspended players, and Hayden Hackney might be back before Christmas, which didn't sound too encouraging, did it, really? I mean, you'd think we'd have a few more bodies back before now, but they seem to be Riley McGree with his plantar fasciitis problem in his foot.
Yeah, it's not great, that is it.
That's going on and on and on, but wait and see, because my take with Riley McGree, and I might be completely wrong, I haven't heard anything, so this isn't anything I know, but He didn't seem to see eye to eye with Michael Carrick earlier on the season. He was on the bench. He was dropped. Mm. There was rumours that he was going to possibly go to Spain. Or he wanted to go to Spain. And he's been out with this foot problem for a long time that's dragging on. And then he's going to be away with Australia in January.
Mm.
Now, is he going to be fit for Australia? Because if he's suddenly fit for Australia and disappears, I wouldn't be surprised if Riley McGree's played his last game.
Yeah, that would be my. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to get into it.
That's just my take. That's nothing I've heard, by the way. That's just. It just seems to be going on too long for me, and there just seems to be a little bit of a problem between him and Michael Carrick that seems to have always been there. And I really hope he doesn't leave, because he's our best player, and we need him. And we need him back in the team as quickly as possible.
Him and a few others. I mean, you're saying about Hayden Hackney there. I'd happily bet anything I've got he'll be in that squad for Port Vale in the quarterfinals. I'd bet anything. There's no way he's missing that. I think that'll be the target for the kid.
I mean, we mentioned it last week. That's, if you look at O'Brien, McGree and Hackney, that's three high-calibre Championship midfielders that we're missing. And I don't think there's a team in the league, if their top three of their top four midfielders were missing, wouldn't be struggling. So
yeah,
I think we've got to take that into account a little bit. but it doesn't make it any less disappointing for what we'll discuss in a bit. So yes, it is what it is, isn't it?
I like the fact you didn't spoil what's coming. Mm. Like, we all don't know what happened on Saturday. But yes, right, we'll talk about Saturday. Here we go. 2 o'clock came, team came out, four changes cuts. Four. Three of them in the back line.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
I know, obviously, one was enforced. Obviously, Dykstra was suspended for his, I'll say it, stupidity at Leeds.
Yeah.
For me. But, yeah, apart from that, only Vandenberg survived.
Yeah, well, is Bangura injured or?
No, he was on the bench, wasn't he?
I was a bit.
Come on, didn't he?
I was a bit surprised. I was a bit surprised that Engel came back in, to be honest. I know on here a few people have said that he seems to be getting better and better every week, but I'm petrified every time someone's attacking him. He's supposed to be a left back, so first and foremost, he's there to defend. And I've seen nothing to suggest he can defend at all at this level, up to now.
Yeah,
I'm not writing him off. It's still early days. He's improved. Well, to be fair, he couldn't get any worse than how he started. But yeah. I think people have been going overboard of how well he's been doing, because I don't see it, at all.
He's very good going forward. He's got a cracking cross on him. His set pace is very good. But I'm like you, when he's going backwards, I'm a bit, oh.
I don't know.
But I was the same with Giles. I thought Giles was a bit suspect when he went backwards. I say Luton are finding that out a little bit when he plays. So
he's not playing though, is he?
He played Sunday.
Yeah.
Got beat.
Giles couldn't defend, but his performance and his levels going forward and his assists was fantastic. Engels not on the same level as Ryan Giles, either defensively or going forward, to be honest. He has got better, he has improved, and he has got some qualities, but he's a massive downgrade on Ryan Giles, that's for sure. And that's not being unkind, it's just a fact.
I mean, if you were pushed now, who would you start? Bangura or Engel?
At home, I would start Bangura, because I would like to see Middlesbrough, like on Saturday, for me, be more on the front foot. So I would like to see Bangura and Dykstra start at fullback, slightly against Preston.
Got to swear,
and push the opposition back.
Yeah.
And get Bangura up the line with Greenwood and Dykstra up the line with Isaiah Jones, and ask questions of them at home. I'm not sure what Bangura's like defensively away from home. He hasn't really shown that yet, but at home I would start Bangura if it was up to me.
No, he's not really. He's not really played much away from home, has he, Bangura?
No. He started at Leeds, didn't he? Exeter got a couple of assists to Exeter.
I'm not gonna judge him massively against Exeter, to be fair. But
I don't know. I just think it. I'm not really bothered whether you're at home or away. I think he deserves a start.
Yeah.
Not because he's been outstanding when he's played. More so to do with how shaky Engel looks, in my opinion. So that's why I would start Bangura.
Yeah, he doesn't look. I say going backwards, I'm a bit nervous about Engel. I still am. But what was your thought of the team, Diego? Obviously, I saw you beforehand, and we both say exactly the same thing.
It is what it is. Yeah. We didn't have many options to play. Fry coming back in, give one another option to shuffle Vandenberg to right back. However, it didn't work, let's be honest. Vandenberg's not a right back. He can't get forward. He's not quick enough. He can't put a cross in the box. And it was another insipid performance by Middlesbrough. It was clunky. It was dull. It was lethargic. It lacked energy. It lacked belief. The players lack confidence. It was for me the poorest home display of the season. And the stats bear that out, that Middlesbrough had one shot on target in 94, 95 minutes, whatever it was. That's not good enough. And yes, we can make the excuse for injuries and suspensions, but the players we had on that pitch, and I know people are going to were playing Ipswich Town, the second top, the Flying. I was really, you know, I wasn't blown away by Ipswich. I thought they were bang average on Saturday. They didn't look a great side to me. I would have thought Middlesbrough, for full strength, would have beat them comfortably, looking at Ipswich on that performance. I mean, the nicked in front in the game, the huffed and the puffed. I tell you what they did do. They gave Middlesbrough a lesson in game management, because they got the noses in front and they did what Middlesbrough don't do, which is slow the game down. They stuck 10 behind the ball. They rolled around. They wasted time. They kicked a few players up a height. And their game management was very, very good. And then the court were, you know, with a breakaway goal for the second, and that was game over. So it was a little bit of a lesson for me to Michael Carrick, that his pal in the opposite dugout, when he went in front away from home against the top side in front of a big crowd, they dug in and they got the job done, which was the polar opposite to what Middlesbrough done at Leeds last week. So I hope Michael Carrick looked at that, and maybe he's moving forward. Middlesbrough, maybe he's going down that road a few times myself.
I mean, to an extent, I agree with that, but I also think the timings of the goals, Leeds and Ipswich, were obviously a bit different. I mean, Ipswich scored. For me, that's the perfect time to score. If you're going to score away from home towards the last 10 minutes of the half, that is the time to do it. And they did it on Saturday. But, I mean, I'll pose a question about Ipswich in a little bit, because, it's a question I had in my head ever since I left the ground Saturday. I don't know about yours, but
for me, from where I was watching the game, it was like Crooks was wide a lot of the game. Now, I didn't really understand that, because we all know Crooks, he's not the quickest of players. And I think we missed him in the middle of the park, picking up the ball in between the midfield and the forwards. We know he can hold the ball up, he can play players in. I think we missed Crooks behind the forward on Saturday.
I think there was one massive glaring miss Saturday, wasn't there? Glaring miss on Saturday. We missed Isaiah Jones on Saturday. So, absolutely. So bad.
Well, we missed the combinations, didn't we? And Crooks put in his worst performance of the season. He had a dreadful game. He couldn't pass to a red shirt all afternoon. He had a terrible game. And I think part of that was down to Dykstale being suspended and Isaiah Jones being suspended, because the three of them have got a real good understanding. And it just didn't work on Saturday. I think what was disappointing on Saturday as well was the players that come in, like me and John Cutler always talk about, when you get your chance and you come in, if you play well, you keep the shirt. And these players keep getting chances and they're not taking them. And I'm happy to name them again. The Barlassas, who come in, another opportunity, awful performance, didn't do it. Rogers was opportunity on Saturday, didn't take it, didn't do it. You know, you've got your... The players that are coming in now, they're getting opportunities because of the injuries, but they've got to take them. These are their opportunities. People keep telling me how good they are when they come off the bench and have cameos, and why don't we start them? He's come on for 20 minutes and done quite well. Let's start him the next game. Well, the reason they're not starting is because they can't play 90 minutes of football at the required level. And on Saturday, that was evident. A lot of the players that came in didn't take the chance. You mentioned Engel. He was another one, didn't have a great performance. You could argue, though he was probably one of the better players in the day, Latia Laff, another opportunity for him. He had a couple of chances, he worked hard, but when the chances come, he's not taking them. He should have buried one the first half.
I was right behind that.
Great chance. So for me, the players are getting the chance. January's coming. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's a few new faces in January, because there's a few of them there that are flattering to deceive, to say the least.
It's interesting how you mentioned Barlassa there, because there seems to be a bit of a thing on Twitter where certain fans are thinking that he's a scapegoat. Now, I comment on what I see, and I'm not seeing anything from him. He's not a scapegoat. I want him to succeed. Yet, people keep putting up his percentage pass completions and all this. Well, they're like 2 and 3 yard passes. He's supposed to be a creative midfielder. When he signed last year, he was level with Giles for most chances created in the league, or goals scored from chances created.
Yeah.
I just don't see what he's doing. And like Steve said there, and he's completely right, if we get any of these injured players back, the first one who's going to be out for me is Barlassa, because he's not doing anything to warrant him staying in the team. It's not a witch hunt. I'm just saying what I see. He's not a scapegoat for me. He's got to put in the performances.
But when they say scapegoat about what? I don't see him getting any stick at the games. I don't see him getting booed. I don't see him getting jeered. The fans have been patient with him. But in terms of his performance on the pitch, he's sideways and backwards.
Totally,
he plays the easy pass, like you say, and the difficult passes, the creative passes, the assists, it's just not happening.
No.
And the games are passing him by, time and time again.
Yeah,
and it's not good enough. He wasn't big money, but the money we paid for him, you'd be expecting a little bit more than we're getting.
Yeah,
was he 1.5 million?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's not a lot of money, but at our level, it's not chicken feed. You'd expect a little bit more than what we're getting, and it's just not happening. He's had a lot of opportunities now, and as I say, when Hackney comes back, he'll be out the team straight away, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely right. The word, I mean, apologies if it has been used in this chat, but his consistency is not there. He can have an absolute worldie of a game, and you can play so well in the middle of the park. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago we were saying the combination between Barlasser and Hackney was so good. And I can't remember what game it was, but they played really well together and they clicked together. He just looks a completely different player from back then, and I just think, what happened? And I don't know what's going on at the moment in the middle of the park. Are there injuries catching us out big time now? Housen looked off his game on Saturday as well. He looked a bit slow, he looked a bit behind us.
I mean, after a game like Saturday, it's easy for us to have a go. Like, we've already mentioned five or six players there. But the bulk of them players that we've mentioned have been actually okay for most of the season.
That's the most frustrating thing.
So, yeah, Housen had a poor game on Saturday, as did the rest of them.
Yeah.
But in general this season, Housen's not been that bad. He's a 36-year-old.
Yeah.
And his performances have been okay. He's getting older, we've got to realise that. But Ballas is a young, what is he, 26, 27, whatever he is. And I just don't see what he's bringing to the team.
Well, let's have a look.
What does he do really well?
It was a poor performance from everybody. I'm not, just like you say, John, I'm not picking anybody out particularly. It's just, I'm just saying what I see, but it was a poor performance by every player on the pitch. They didn't reach the levels that they should be at.
Yeah.
To be a top half championship team.
Yeah.
I thought the tactics were poor on Saturday. I think the management need to have a look at themselves again. Michael Carrick seems to be above a lot of criticism. He doesn't seem to get any, and people are defending to the hilt for because we play attacking football. But again, on Saturday, as I said against Leeds, he got it wrong. I thought he got it wrong again on Saturday. You know, you want your team to have a go at Ipswich. You got a big crowd there, 28,000. You want to have a go at Ipswich and put them under pressure at home and get the fans behind you, because the only advantage you've got is that you've got home territory and the fans behind you, so you want them there. We just put out a really lacklustre performance. We let Ipswich settle into the game, dictate the game. We weren't causing them any problems. One shot in 90 minutes. And as I say, from the bench, I see nothing from Michael Carrick. Yet again, he's reluctant to make changes, either to his tactics or his substitutions are always far too late in the game. When we're 1-0 down, he needed to change it, and he didn't, and he held back, and he held back, until what, 2-0 down. And then his change was Greenwood off, Silveira on, like for like. No change to the game, no change to the tactics. It was a perfect opportunity for me to try what we've been saying, and a lot of the fans have been saying, why not just stick two up front and just try Latia Laugh alongside Josh Coburn? What we've got to lose?
But he
didn't. And then, you know, the game continues. And then 78 minutes, the board goes up again. What are you going to do now? The game's dead anyway. What are you going to do? We're going to put Coburn on now and the chase lost causes. No, he brings on Bangura for Engel, fullback for fullback. I mean, that's not good enough. You've got 28,000 people there trying to give us something to cheer about, give us something to hang on to. But when you're seeing the manager, but more or less saying to the supporters, I've given up on this game, I'm not going to risk Josh Coburn, I'm not going to go for it, I'm not going to attack, I'm just going to sit and lose 2-0. It's not surprising that the atmosphere turned, you know, well, everybody just sort of got up and left, didn't they? They just thought, well, if he's not bothered, I'm not bothered, time to go, and the seats disappeared and everybody went home. But Michael Carrick, for me, at the minute, he's getting it wrong.
Well, Jacob's just commented on Facebook. Jacob's been on the show quite a lot in the past and is a regular on the 12th man bus. He's put, correct, Steve. He's getting more wrong than right recently. One of the few calling it out.
I knew he was going to put that because I saw their conversation earlier. I saw these two going.
I was going to mention him actually because he did put it out there on Twitter, and it's fair comment, because if you're going to take the plaudits, you should take the criticism when you're getting it wrong. I did see the statistic today that Michael Carrick, since he's been to Middlesbrough, we've never lost 3 games in a row. So I hope that continues and he gets it right against Hull on Wednesday, and we'll come out there with an attacking lineup and go out there to have a real good go at Hull. And if we don't win, at least we'll go down fighting. But what we're seeing on Saturday just isn't acceptable. And it's poor tactics. You're at home, you're 2-0 down, and you're bringing on a fullback for a fullback.
So you talk about playing attacking football and going for it. Who would your attackers be on Wednesday, Steve?
On Wednesday, I would take Rodgers out. I thought he was woeful on Saturday. And I would have Greenwood on the left. I would leave Latale off with his pace up front. He's a handful. And I would have Crooks in the hole and Isaiah Jones back on the right. That would be my attack. And then you'd have the option of bringing Rodgers on and Josh Coburn in the second half.
I agree with 3 of them, but I'm not sure I would start Greenwood, mate, because I think he's been way off the pace.
I was literally just about to say, you called out Rodgers there, and rightly so, because there was no player that really lit the pitch up on Saturday. I thought Greenwood was worse. I thought Greenwood was absolutely horrendous on Saturday. Nothing stuck to him Saturday.
Fair comment, and I think, to be honest, he struggled in the last few games, Greenwood, yeah, to be fair, yes. As have a few, but... You know, I just think for the balance of the side, and the fact that Greenwood has won with a few games of late with goals and stuff like that, I'd probably just give him the nudge ahead of Rodgers. But like you say, there's not much in it, to be fair.
No.
If Riley McGree was fit, I don't think either could complain if I back out on the bench.
Agree.
Yeah, I mean, I posted more about the game. You were going to mention a question to us, weren't you? You've kind of alluded it to a couple of minutes ago, so I'll let you take reins.
Well, it was from which is a brilliant name, I think, Boras Sniper 77. What a cracking name, Boras Sniper. I love that name. And he just asked us the question. He thinks the atmosphere was poor on Saturday, and he thinks the mentality of the fan base seems to have changed to fair weathered fans over recent years. He thinks the fans need to be more vocal, even when we're not doing so well. Now, it's a point, but I'll let you say what you want to say after this. But I'll give my opinion back to the sniper. And my opinion is that I'm going to go into bat for the supporters here, because for me, it goes hand in hand. Now, I'll go to the two best seasons Middlesbrough have had in the Championship in recent years, because we've been in it quite a while now, as we know. In the playoff final season, when we lost to Norwich, we averaged 19,500. The following season, when we got promoted to the Premier League under Aitor Karanc, obviously the following season, we averaged 24,627. This season, we're sitting 12th in the league, and we've had a real funny season, losing not winning for 7 games, and at the minute we're not doing so well, we're down to 12th, and we're averaging just under 27,000. So to me, as a club, if you're getting support near 27,000 on Teesside 2 weeks before Christmas when you're sitting 12th, that's a huge pat on the back to the people of Middlesbrough and the support that they're getting. And I think it's up to the players sometimes to play the part to get the fans going. So I'm going to give you the example of recent games against Leicester, when we won 1-0 and there was 30,000 there, I thought the place was rocking. Against Southampton a few weeks before that, when we won 2-1, there was 26,000 there and the place was jumping. So why wasn't it jumping with 28,000 on Saturday? I'll tell you why, because it goes hand in hand. You turn up in that game, but once the whistle goes, it's up to those players to entertain, and if they're not entertaining, the graft and the scrap and the fight and the play for the red shirt in Middlesbrough and the play for the supporters. And if they do that, they'll get the noise from the terraces. There was nothing on Saturday to make Middlesbrough supporters clap, sing or anything. And it was no surprise that so many fans left early, because it was a shambles. So I'm going to defend Middlesbrough supporters and say the players will get the noise they deserve when they start putting in performances that the fans deserve. Now, yeah. I'll let you lads think what you think.
Well, here's my comment. I 100% agree with you, Steve, so I don't need to say any more. 100%. You can't criticise the fans. They're turning up in their numbers. And like you say, it's up to the players to get some bums off seats. There's certain fans in there that will try and boost the players. But you know, after half an hour of a game, and when we knew on Saturday, that's why it went flat. The fans knew that the players went on it. I understand people saying, well, the fans get behind them. I think they did at times try to get behind them. But there was pretty much nothing coming back.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
By the little second half, John, didn't we? A little spell second half attacking the North Stand, and they start singing what Carrick said around the ground.
Yeah.
It was a little bit, got going a little bit. But then it just went flat again. We've been to Middlesbrough games over the years. It doesn't have to be brilliant football to get the fans going. It can be a player rattling into a tackle.
Totally agree.
You know, it doesn't have to be great football, but there was nothing on Saturday to get people off their seats. There really wasn't. It was poor.
Like you said there, I'm certainly not going to sit here and criticise any fan that went out in... I mean, it was bouncing down the morning, to be fair. I know that stopped a little bit, but 28,000 2 weeks before Christmas. We'll do the same in 2 weeks against West Brom. It's a pat on the back for the fans for me. I'm not going to sit here and criticise any of them. Not one of them.
No,
I'm not either. I mean, I was one of them that sang no matter what. I mean, the other one was he's not here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He gives everything every game, Mr. John Donovan, every game. Yes, try standing next to him. It's an experience. but he's an absolute legend, and he gives it no matter what, and it's infectious. And to say all the lads around us, I'll give it everything. I think what didn't help on Saturday. And this is me no way defending the players here. Right? I'm not. Was the timing of the goal? I've alluded to it about 5 minutes ago. That time, 10 minutes before half time, if you had some sort of vision, you could see the atmosphere go straight through the roof. It was gone. That was it. Gone. Fans were like, "Oh, bugger." That's the worst time we can see, because it is the worst time we can see just before half time, and we had no answers. And atmosphere wasn't great Saturday. It really wasn't.
Well, you can talk about the Borough fans there, right? But during the game, what did Ipswich bring? 2,800, second in the league. For 2,800 being second in the league, I didn't think they were particularly loud either.
No.
That's not me criticising them. They've made a massively long trip. They've all come up in the numbers. You know what I mean? I'm not criticising them. I just think it was one of them days where the atmosphere felt flat, and it was flat around the whole ground, really, until they got their second goal, when they knew then that they'd won.
Yeah,
like I say, they weren't great. They were bang average on the day. I'm sure they've played a hell of a lot better this season because they're second top, and I'm sure Ipswich fans, if they listen to this, it'll say that they've been entertaining and played fantastic in certain games of the season, but I can only go off what I've seen of them on Saturday, and to me they were bang average. And I think if Middlesbrough had been full strength and at it, would have beat them the same way as we beat Southampton and Leicester and Sunderland. I think we'd have beat them, but our performance just was like the atmosphere. It was flat.
I mean, you can go through the goals. We haven't, the first one, the deflection, you can't really blame Dieng for that. The second one.
But all I'd say about that first goal, that could have been stopped on the halfway line.
No,
Housen could have stopped that for me.
Yeah, you can pick the bones.
I'm not going to
every goal.
I don't want to pick on Johnny Housen, by the way.
Dieng for that.
Yeah, no way.
The second goal for me, it absolutely annoys the life out of me. Centre half,
we switched
standing
off
like
so
a statue,
quick,
with his hand in the air. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that goal could have been prevented before it even got to that. But
what's the first fundamental rule in football?
Well, you play the whistle.
Whistle, and we stood there.
Stood there with his hand up in the air for 5 seconds before he even turned round.
It was a reenactment of them. In the full Monty when they're doing the offside rule just to obviously get the routine right. That's exactly what it was. I looked and I thought. What are you doing?
It was like the Arsenal back four back in the day, but without it working. And the Arsenal back four used to all stand, Tony Adams and all put their arms up and all that. But the referees' whistle used to go because they were good.
Weirdly enough, you saying that, I thought Dale Fry, he had a Tony Adams moment when he flew through in the middle. And I thought, if he lobs the ball over the top here, he's got a Tony Adams moment against Everton. And you thought he'd have pinged it, but obviously it never happened.
I tell you what, in the second goal as well, from a goalkeeping perspective, and you know, I think Senny Dieng's had a good season forward, but on that second goal, he got his angles horrifically wrong. I don't know if you've seen the replays, but I don't know what he's doing, but he leaves the biggest gap ever at his near post. He more or less just says, put it here. And the player just slots it in. He leaves such a gap to his right-hand side. I don't know what he was doing. It was terrible goalkeeping by Dieng on the second goal.
I mean,
Go on, Joe. No, you're right.
We've mentioned Dieng there, and earlier on we were on about injuries and the squad being depleted. January's going to be, if we do not bring in reinforcements in January, we're going to be massively struggling with the players that are going to be going away on international duty.
Well, keeper for a start.
Well, there's...
We'll have one keeper.
Glover and Dieng away.
Yeah.
If McGree's fit, he's gone. Silvera, will he get in the squad? Quite possibly.
Yeah, he'll go.
Do you know what I mean? We are going to be massively depleted if we don't bring in, what do we need? 4 or 5 players just to boost the squad. Because you look at that, you look at the bench on Saturday...
Wasn't great, was it?
Let me just get it back up.
It was half it was kids.
Yeah, you say it wasn't great. That's a bit harsh on the kids that are in there.
Oh, but yeah.
I know where you're coming from.
Experience wise, it wasn't where it should be, championship level.
Yeah.
But fair play to the kids.
We're not going to go daft in January in terms of just buying players because we're short for 5 or 6 weeks, because when those players come back from either injury or tournaments, where do you fit all the players in? So
I
get where he's coming from, but at the same time, if we don't bolster the squad in January at that moment in time when we lose those players, that could be us done and dusted in terms of the playoffs, couldn't it? So it's a difficult one.
Well, if you look at it on Saturday, Law McCabe.
He's got a future in, by the way.
Yeah, this isn't a criticising of any of them.
I'm trying to pick them up.
So, young kid, you've got Hayden Coulson. Let's be honest, if we had players in, wouldn't be even featuring in the 18 or whatever it is. Aidan Bridge, Tom Glover, Sammy Silvera, Bangura, Coburn, still very young. I know he's played a lot of games for us this season. Alex Gilbert, barely any football experience really, and certainly for us none. And Finlay Cartwright. So although you can talk about options on the bench and changing things, I think Carrick's hands are slightly tied at the minute because of injuries and suspension. But if we do not bring these players in January, the squad's going to be further depleted. I mean, where will we end up? Because for me, I don't think it's going to be the playoffs unless we do bring players in.
No. I think we'll talk about, obviously, January when it gets closer to it, but the rumours are all out there, aren't there? Obviously, there's two lads from Forest that have been secluded from the first team now.
McKenna and Worrell.
I'd take them all day long. All day long, I'd have them.
Yeah.
Two very, very good championship defenders. Very, very good. And we're at the heart of them going up a couple of years ago, so I've got no issues with that, but...
You've got to wonder why, though, that the surplus to requirements by a very, very good manager.
Well, look at the players. Look at the players that got in front of him. They've got
but he's got them training with the reserves and stuff. They've obviously fallout. And you think, is their attitudes not right?
I'm keeping you fit, but I'm not putting you in a game because I don't want you to pick up a knock. And then when you go in January, you're fully fit, you're ready to go, and we can cash in. I think that's what it looks like for me. Which that sounds really bad, by the way. It sounds awful, but that's how I think it will be. But
if you look at us now, where do we need players from? So for me, we need a couple of defenders due to injuries that we've got. We could do with a central midfielder if these three, God knows when they're going to come back, any of them. And for me, we need another centre forward.
Yeah, we do.
That's the key. That's the key for me.
I like Lath. For me, he was man the match on Saturday, which wasn't hard with the performances that were out there, but he ran his socks off. And as a centre forward, I know that's not what he's there for, but you couldn't question his commitment on Saturday.
Oh, no.
He absolutely ran his socks off.
But he should have scored Saturday. That was a chance in the first half. That was...
Because
you spoke there, didn't you, about the positioning of Dieng for the second. Their keeper did exactly the same. And that left-hand side of the keeper's goal... Obviously, right as we were all looking at it from the north stand, was absolutely open as anything. All you had to do was slot it in. Slot it in. Job done. But what are you doing?
I'm just looking. Daniel says right back, centre back, goalkeeper, striker, central attacking midfield.
He might be saying it. Do you want to say it into a microphone?
Oh, aye. There we go. I should have brought me glasses, shouldn't I? No wonder people can't hear me every week. We didn't win for 7 games when we had his strong squad. And I'd Force McGree on the bench still.
Jacob, I get it, right? I know you're not a Carrick fan. I get it, mate. I get it. It's fine. I'm not reading your big essay either. Because the fact you said pragmatic, how you're still a kid, I don't know. Pragmatic. I struggle to say that, and I'm a fully grown man. You know what I mean? So, but he makes some good points, and he say, I'll get Jacob back on the podcast very soon. He's got an opinion. He's very good with his football talk, so I'll get him back on. But one thing I was going to ask
tell you how bad we were on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
Which made me, it was the highlight of the game for me. It made me laugh. Matt Crooks put in a stupid tackle just outside the box in the north stand. And a bloke to my left jumped up and shouted to the ref, "Send him off." That's how bad.
That's what they were Guzan, wasn't it? When Guzan gave that penalty away, everybody went off. Yeah, that was that 30 seconds where he felt he should have got a foul, and then he gave the ball away stupidly, didn't he? And they just flew into a tackle, and I thought, stop. That's my first sub straight away there. And I love Matt Crooks, I really do. But yeah, he had that moment. I thought, yeah, he's lost his head a little bit there. But one question I'm going to pose to you two before I get your man of the match to go, because you've obviously gave yours away. Couldn't keep it in quick enough. I obviously when we were 2-0 down, I took a bit of a step back and just watched the game as it was. Didn't watch it as a Borough fan, just for 10 minutes or so. How similar a style did Ipswich look when you bear down to it, to how we play when we play our right? Because we set up exactly the same as them, and they just looked half a step quicker every single time. Like they had every bit covered. The two in midfield, one by the way, Sam Morsey was absolutely brilliant on Saturday. I thought he was superb. Yeah. Him and Jack Taylor were brilliant on Saturday. They ran out midfield.
That was the difference, wasn't it? They had that little bit of bite. They had a little bit more belief. They seemed to want to win it a little bit more. But yeah, they play the same system. Him and Carrick are good mates. They obviously have the same philosophy in football of how they want to play. And it's good to watch, and it's brilliant when it works. But sometimes you've just got to be a little bit cuter, a little bit cleverer. You've got to have a little bit of game management
in certain games. They showed us how to play football Saturday.
But they did. But you still seen the goalkeeper wasting time. You still seen them rolling around. You still seen Sam Morsey kicking Matt Crooks up the height. You still had a little bit about them. And maybe that's the difference between us and them this season.
Maybe.
Because, you know, the maybe it's just that little bit cleverer coming from League One. Because obviously in League One, you've got to be tough and brave and stuff, you know, and battle in a lot of games in League One. And they've sort of obviously come to a better standard in the Championship, but they haven't lost that little bit of bite, have they? They've still got that little bit of bite about them and a little bit of nastiness about them.
Yeah.
Well, if you think I go in on Fry and Barlasser, if I'd have been on this pod years ago when we had Sam Morsey here, you would have heard me slagging him off every single week.
Oh, and me.
Because apart from kicking people, I don't know what he does. And he should have been booked after 30 seconds on Saturday for that foul on Crooks. It was a yellow card all day long.
Yeah.
And it shows exactly how poor we were on Saturday, how good he actually looked.
That's it, isn't it? They looked really good in centre midfield. Him and Jack Taylor looked absolutely superb.
He had so much time on the ball. He can't run. He can only pass 5 yards. He's there for kicking, which is fair enough. I'd love to see someone of a better standard than him, but someone like Ledbetter or... I don't know.
Adam Clayton.
Clayton. Someone who, when it's not going so well for you, like Dicklow said earlier, a proper rough tackle, gets stuck in and can get the fans going. We haven't got that, have we?
No,
Howson leads by example. He's not a crunching tackler. The centre-halves, when it's McNair and Fry, they don't put...
There was a few 50-50s I looked at and I thought, you backed out there.
Yeah.
That's what this team lacks, isn't it? Let's be honest. If you look at the last Middlesbrough team that got promoted, we might not have been as good on the eye, but we had leaders in the team. We had, you know, the Ben Gibsons, your Ayala's at the back who would put a tackle in. Clayton and Ledbetter in the midfield. David Nugent would be a menace. You had people that would call other players out on the pitch if they weren't doing it. And I would like to see some Middlesbrough players now start to call, like, point the finger at each other, call each other out. If a goal goes in the back of the net, you know, if you Senny Dieng, call them out, because it's just too easy, it's too nice. Nobody seems accountable, nobody seems to be upset that we're getting beat.
Our
it's
our leader, isn't he? Lenihan's our leader. Because when he's on the pitch, he screams. He absolutely screams at people. If you do something wrong, all you know about it, because he'll collar you straight away. And rightly so, because I agree with you. That's how you develop as a team. That's how you get closer as a team. You've got to drag each other through games. And, yeah, as much as I love Johnny House, he's not the vocal captain you need in situations like that. And I love Johnny House, and I really do. I think the guy's brilliant.
If I was buying players in January, obviously striker's the priority, you need a striker. But after a striker, if I was bringing in a midfielder or I was bringing in a centre-back, they would have to have leadership qualities.
Mm. Totally agree.
They would have to have it, because that's what we lack. Absolutely. Right through the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
We need leader.
Absolutely. Right. Man of the match, then, Dicko. Who was it?
I'm going to agree with John Cutler. I think there was nobody really above a 5 out of 10, probably, other than Latty Alaf, who I'd give a 6, because he worked his socks off. He won a lot of headers against the big centre-back. He ran the channels. He had a couple of chances. Yeah, he should have scored, but I thought he was probably the only one that I thought, yeah, you've grafted.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll give Latty Alaf it.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a full house. I thought Latty Alaf, his work commitment was brilliant on Saturday. I thought he was really good. He just needs to finish them chances. Just finish him.
Well, Jacobs made a good point there, actually. I didn't see him play for Atalanta, but Jacobs seems to think he was a winger at Atalanta, and he'd love to see him wide with Jones on the other side and Coburn through the middle. imagine that pace running at you. So I wouldn't mind seeing that, to be fair.
But to play devil's advocate, he didn't play wide when he played last season. He played up front and saw 17 goals. I know he wasn't at the top level.
And was that Denmark? Or he was at
Switzerland.
He's in Switzerland. He played up front for St. Gallen in Switzerland, and he scored 16 goals.
There you go.
Jacob's right. When he played for Atlanta, he sort of played in the Isaiah Jones role, really. And he can do it, and I agree. It would certainly be an option for me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you did see it on Saturday, because he did go out on the left hand side.
Yeah.
And he was very quick out there. He actually drawn one of them, one of them fouls you get where you're just outside the box in that perfect. It was actually one of our big chances in the second half, because the ball came in and he actually flicked it on, didn't he? And the keeper made a really good save. So, I say, all drawn from that foul he got. So, yeah. Right, before I move on to other games, I'm going to preview. There's a couple of things I want to bring up. Obviously, Saturday, because obviously John Don's not here to talk about it, so I'm going to have to do it. Cheers, John Don. Saturday, they braved the cold and the rain and whatever. The supporters trust, MSC Foundation, everyone was out for it. Food bank was out, raised £1,587.49, which is absolutely incredible. 3 weeks before Christmas, and collected just under 530 kilograms of food, just over half a ton of food. That's honestly, I can't big T side up more than I do.
Ah, fair play.
But that's fair play, that.
Yeah, fair play to the lads who stood out there, and fair play to everyone who donated whatever it was that donated. Times are tough in the whole country.
£1,587.49. I only said it 30 seconds ago,
Aye.
Do you want to read it?
No. I believe what you said. I just didn't know I was questioning it, that's all. No, I was actually praising him.
But yeah, it was unreal. I love Teesside. I always will. Amazing place. And second one, before I go on to the games, I just want to mention Mask. Because Mask are in a bit of trouble now. Graham Lee's put an interview out, hasn't he, on, is it BBC Tees that he spoke to? Mask have got 2 weeks. If they don't raise money in 2 weeks, they're gone. You know, one of our local clubs is gone. So, I don't usually say this sort of stuff, or this sort of thing, but if you're not going to Swansea on Saturday, and you've got some time, I know you should be listening to the Borough, you should be watching the Borough, you do whatever, or you want to go see some live footy, I don't know if they're at home. I haven't got a clue. If they are, get yourself out of Mount Pleasant. Go and watch them.
Well, haven't they been suspended from the league?
Yeah.
So they won't have a game?
But they'll have something on, because they've got to raise some money, haven't they? You know what I mean? Get yourself down there, because the volunteers are working next to nothing just to get through.
Well, when I lived up there, I used to go and watch Mass quite a bit when he had Carl Jarrett. I think it was Carl.
Yes.
So apologies if it's not his first name.
No, it is.
And their rise from the lower leagues has been pretty... It's been some kind of story, really, for a club of that size. And they've struggled this year and they struggled a bit last year. And maybe getting the promotions has cost them a little bit because they've tried to push the boat out and it hasn't really worked. But like you say, they're a local club. They're the heartbeat of that community.
Yeah.
So good luck to Graham Lee, who's a fellow Teesider like us.
Yes.
So let's hope they can get some donations and
he's stepping in, isn't he? He's trying to help them as much as he can. Fair play to him. Because they've brought some good players for him. I mean, I could be completely wrong here, but I'm pretty sure John Hugill played for Mask at one point. Absolutely certain he did. I could get called out for that. This could get clipped and then be like, no, he didn't. But I'm absolutely certain that John Hugill played for Mask United. So
you don't want to see clubs go up the wall.
No way.
Heartbeat, like you said, it's the heartbeat of a community. A lot of people go there that maybe follow Middlesbrough as the second team, but they go and watch Mask every week. Mm-hmm. And they care as much about Mask United FC as what we do about Middlesbrough. So
exactly.
I, for one, certainly don't want to see any clubs going up the wall.
Hear, hear.
That's why it's sickening when you see these TV deals getting announced, you know, a 6.7 billion TV deal. And the money's supposed to be filtered down through all the levels to all the clubs, right through the grassroots.
Doesn't get as far as us.
Teams, you still get teams like you say, like some Mask could go out of business. It shouldn't be happening. There's that much money in football today. It's an absolute disgrace.
And this is why, I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago when we were on about the FA Cup draw. You've got, even the League Cup draws, you've got them showing Premier League teams against Premier League teams. Instead of, I don't know, I don't even know if Wrexham are still in the Cup. Conference team last year, flying high in League Two this year.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, they were playing a League One or a Championship side. Smash them on the telly. Give them a bit of extra revenue. Because they say about the romance of the FA Cup's gone. Yeah, because you don't show it on the TV. This is exactly what's wrong. You've got big wigs thinking, oh, we'll get millions of people tuning in for West Ham versus, I don't know, West Ham versus Chelsea, mm-hmm. which is a big game in London. But with regards to, like, if it was Wrexham versus, I don't know, even Wrexham versus Middlesbrough at the race course, the rest of the country would like to see that because, apart from Middlesbrough, they'd like to see Wrexham knock us out for the glory of the FA Cup. That's why it's dying, because you've got idiots running it and picking games.
Absolutely. And on a related subject, we've been picked for telly for Aston Villa at home.
I can sort of understand that, though. A Championship club, mid-table, they're flying high in the Premier League. It's better than, I don't know, watching an all Premier League tie that we watch every week.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, Thursday night, Palace Everton, no. Tottenham Burnley Friday night, no. You know what I mean?
Well, let's just make the Premier League clubs richer.
The only game that I really feel that should be on the telly is like Premier League is Arsenal Liverpool. And rightly so, that's a huge game.
I can understand
that.
Sunderland Newcastle, a massive derby. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be a full house. Electric atmosphere, I totally get that. And there's a slight chance of a shock, which the TV would love and the rest of the country would enjoy. But I don't understand Palace versus Everton.
A shock. Oh, it'd be a shock if they don't concede a few against them. If Newcastle have their players back, Jesus. It could be blah. It's going to be great if we win. But,
no comment.
But ticket news came out for Villa, didn't it? Obviously, 20 quid for us, like 25 quid for general sale. I want to quickly brush against this one.
A lot of people complaining about the price. You're playing against the team that's third in the Premier League at home for 20 quid as a season ticket holder. I think it's good price.
You've just stole me thunder. Before I came out, I saw someone saying something to the effect of, I pay £500 for my season ticket and they're only knocking a £5 off a cup game. Well, £20? £20 to go and watch a Premier League team at home? What do you want?
Exactly.
Some nuts.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Some nutters watch us, don't they? Some absolute nutters watch us.
If you can't afford to go, like, this isn't a criticism of anyone who hasn't got the money to go, but they can't complain at 20. What can you do with 20 quid these days?
Because to roll that back, us charging 20 quid, that could be the money that then people that can't quite afford 30 quid to go and watch us on a Championship game can afford to go and watch this for £25 on general sale.
Yeah.
And good for them, because they'll think, oh, mate, I can go and watch Borough now.
Well, they could be criticising this club, but it's got to be agreed with Aston Villa as well. Yeah,
they've agreed the price, yeah, haven't
they? It's two clubs have got to do it, haven't they?
Yeah.
So...
I don't see a problem with £20. When it came out today, £20, I thought that's decent.
Yeah.
£15 for under-18s. I don't know what some people want.
£20 for 3 points more on me likely points, I'm quite happy with that. Yeah. That'll do me. Go towards me Wembley points for the League Cup, so I'm quite happy. So, right. But we'll talk about that next week. Quarter-final of the Cup. We'll have a chat about next week. But we've got two games before then. Obviously, we can't talk about what team that we can play for Saturday. I mean, we'll go into the score predictions that, but Wednesday is huge. It's a huge game. Yeah. It's another playoff chaser, because let's face it, we're all chasing fifth and below now. Top four's, they're away and gone for now. If they come back to us, happy days. But it's not looking like it at the moment. No one close to coming back. Same squad, apart from Dykstra and Jones in. I mean, I know the answer to this already, Dicko, but you'd have them both back in, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Straight back in. Yeah.
Who for?
If I was picking a team on what's available, I would obviously go Dieng. I would have Dykstra and Bangura at fullback. And I know John's going to frown at this, but I would put Fry and Vandenberg at centre-back. The reason is because Matt Clark still doesn't look 100% right to me. Ooh. He's still slow on the
turn. I thought he was good on Saturday.
Yeah, he's an okay, but he's not. He's, for me, he's a bit too slow. I don't know. The jury's still out on him for me. And at the minute, I would go Fry and Vandenberg.
Okay.
Obviously, Housen and Barlasa, you've got no other choice. But I would put Crooks in the hole. I'd have Greenwood on one side, Jones on the other, and Lattie Lath up front. But there's not a great deal of choice to pick from other than that. But like you said, you could maybe argue to put Rodgers in for Greenwood. I'm sure Cuts would probably maybe put Clark in for Fry. But there's not a great deal of choice.
What about Silvera?
I'd have Bangura in at left back. I'd keep Clark in and play Vandenberg centre back next to him. Dykstra be on the right. I'd drop Barlasa and play Crooksy centre midfield, and I'd play Rodgers behind the forward, or Coburn and Lath wide.
Coburn wide?
No, Coburn centre forward, Lath wide.
I thought you combined them wide. I thought, whoa.
Lath and Jones wide of Coburn, and put Crooksy in the middle with Housen.
Yeah, I can't see us changing much, to be honest.
No, I don't think they will do that, but that's what I'd do.
Oh yeah. I completely agree with the pair of you. I really do. I wouldn't be upset with that
because it's fair game for me. If Dale Fry got dropped, or, well, let's be honest, anybody's fair game the minute they get dropped. If you drop Greenwood, if he drops Rodgers, they can't complain. So,
well, that's it, isn't it?
I do think it's important that Dykstra and Jones are both starting the game.
I think it's massive. We need some pace on that right-hand side. We look so poor on Saturday. We look so one-sided. And it's like Ipswich has figured it out as well. They're like, if they can't get down our left, they've got nothing. They've got nothing. And they were absolutely right.
They're no mugs either. Hull. Got Cyrus Christie, who I liked when he was playing for Borough.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed on centre-forward for a goal Wednesday, Aaron Connolly, although he was on the bench for them on Saturday. But he'll be nailed on for a goal.
The big boost we've got today is that they've got two wingers that they've been flying with are both missing tomorrow night, apparently. Jason Lacoli he injured himself in training, and the main player, Jaden Fullergen, who was an England under 21 player who apparently scored 6 in his last 14 and got 5 assists, got injured on Saturday, and he's missing. And the whole manager is actually talking about changing his formation, because the way they play is all about getting the ball wide to those two players. So that's given me a lot more confidence for Wednesday, the fact that they're going to have to change tactics and they've lost two attacking threats.
They've got that Seri as well, who cost Fulham a lot of money, and he's a decent player at this level.
Oh, of course, he's a very decent player, isn't he? So. Mm.
So, but yeah, it'll be a tough game.
It's going to be a really tough game.
I think there'll be goals, It'll not be nil-nil, that's for sure.
Nil-nil incoming. There Get your go. Money on it.
There we go. We said it.
So for the game on Wednesday, I'm going to go for Latte Lath 3-1. Mm-hmm. Jacko's gone Isaiah Jones 2-1. What about you, Dicko?
I'll go Middlesbrough, I'll bounce back 2-0. And I'll go Isaiah Jones 2-0.
Okay.
Then that'll take us on nicely to the away game on Saturday in South Wales.
In South Wales. It's another big game again. They're coming thick and fast, these games, aren't they? It's not helping us in our situation, but... I tell you what,
that's a long trip for the Borough fans before
Christmas. It's a massively long trip. Massively long trip. And fans will be there in the numbers again.
Yeah.
I'll say it on some blue in the face. Best fans in the country by a long way. Because nearest games, apart from Sunderland, is 2 hours. You know what I mean? So, Sunderland travel really well as well for where they are. And yeah, I'll give them credit for that. Same with the Geordies as well. North East fans are the best fans in the world. So, but yes... Saturday, go on then.
Tough game. We went there last year and one of the best away days I enjoyed last year was Swansea away. I think we beat them 3-1. Archer scored a couple, I think.
Oh, that was class, that.
It was a great
day. 1-0 down at half time. 10 minutes, we just absolutely ripped into them.
Yeah, we played really well that week.
But Ramsey, Akpom, Archer.
Mm. But obviously, with the injuries
put your tissues away. I'm not being nostalgic. I'm just telling you, who scored. That's all I'm doing. Go on.
Yeah, it'll be another tough game. I think we can nick it. I'm going to go for Jones 2-1.
What did I go for?
You went for Vandenberg 1-1.
There you go. I think if we can get a point in South Wales, I'll be happy. I'll be very happy.
I think we'd all take 4 points from two games.
Of course we would. Of course we would. It's a tough game on Saturday. Really tough. I say it's a long trip. And I don't want us to get beat going into a massive cup game next week. I know we can't look too far ahead, but if you're not looking at a cup quarter final in 8 days now, you're silly. So, but yeah, we need to have a look at it. And
about you, Dicko, what do you reckon for Saturday?
I would take a point, but just for the bet, I'll go 2-1 like the Lath, 2-1 Borough. But I'll be more than happy with a point.
There you go.
I think if we can get 4 points, whichever way we get them from Hull and Swansea, I'll be delighted.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And hopefully, when we come back next week, we'll have a little chat. We'll chat about 4 points at least, maybe even six. And then we'll preview a big cup quarter final. Because it is a big game. It's massive. It's massive. And I'm going to say it now, and I'm not going to apologise for it. I'm going to put some emphasis on this preview for next Tuesday, because it's huge for the club. Yeah, it's a money spinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We could go into semi-finals and, you know.
I just want to say as well, you know, it's tough coming on here.
Oh, really?
Lately, the last few games with the performances and having a go at, you know, the way we're playing, our players and management. Me and John Cutler, we would rather come on here praising everybody at the hilt, including Mike and Carrick, and talking about victories and entertaining performances and how good he was. But, you know, I feel like it's my duty to come on here and tell the truth and say what I see. So
if
anybody thinks
again.
Everybody says, I wish that negative Geordie would bugger off. I totally understand, but I'm always going to tell it like I see it. And then, it's, you know.
And that's what we're here for, isn't it? That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Say what you see, like you said, Roy Walker.
it's that is the worst Irish accent I've ever heard in my life.
That was a Geordie Irish accent. I don't think I've ever heard of one of them before.
But it's why we do what we do. We are basically just calling it, you know, as we see it. I'm not going to lie about what happened on Saturday. It was poor. But
do you think Michael Carrick's in there at full time, sugarcoating it all, saying, "Oh, well done"? They're not. Yeah. He's saying exactly the same behind the scenes and what we're saying. Yeah, if their skin's not thick enough to take a little bit of criticism from me, Steve, and you, then they're in the wrong job.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's a pleaser, isn't it? You know, if you're not playing well, you're not going to please anyone. You're not getting the results, you're not pleasing anyone.
You can't polish your turd.
Wow. And there you go, just like that.
We'll be here long after they're gone, still talking about Middlesbrough.
Exactly.
Exactly. And on that bombshell, we'll leave it there. Dicko, thanks so much for popping on. Always a pleasure to chat to you. Cuts, thank you very much for popping in.
Enjoyed it, as always, lads. Thank you.
As always, it's been good. To people contributing, Jacob, you can stop now. thank you so much.
We'll end the show on a high for Jacob. He's gone 23, Middlesbrough 1. So,
there you go.
Absolute negative, Nelly. Absolute negative, Nelly. You're not getting your PG tips off Santa this year for that, right? But and on that note, I'll leave you as be. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for commenting, liking, subscribing. And making this a reality for us because we love doing this.
Yeah, we enjoy it, yeah.
Mondays are awful as it is, but this just makes it a bit better. And, you know, the results aren't going our way, but it's great. And I love it. And, yeah, I'll leave it there.
It'll turn.
Of course it will.
I thought you were going to say something about a turd, and I thought, I can't, no. But, and on that note, I'm going to say goodbye. And, yeah, thank you so much for listening. And I'll talk to you all next week.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough, boys. Take care, fellas.
What's happening at the stadium? Light on Thursday?